Mikko Rantanen, SR Mikko Rantanen. Mikko Rantanen, SR Mikko Rantanen.
Mikko
Rantanen, SR Mikko Rantanen. Mikko Rantanen, SR Mikko Rantanen.
Hello and welcome everybody to a mini-sode of Why Should Your Team Win? Back with me is Ian, live from his car.
Live from the car, hello.
Welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
You know, I thought of you after the avalanche hit that five L's in a row, and I was like, I gotta talk to somebody about it.
Yes. I have to like find misery in company.
Yeah. Well, I like to call him the Mikko Rado Rantalanche.
It's true. He's like the only thing right now keeping that team above the water.
No, he totally is. You know, mid-season, how has it been for the Avs this year? I mean, obviously, I follow them closely and you do, but just,
yeah,
what happened to them? We were spoiled last year.
For sure. Really spoiled. And I think that, like, if you're looking for really great context when it comes to being an Avalanche fan or just, I think, sports fans in general, I think the greatest example of that is, like, right now. Like, last year we had what we probably shouldn't have had in a cap era, like, with all of those players and all that talent. We win a cup, and now there's, like, this – you know, they call it like a cup hangover, so to speak, but it's so apparent to me right now, especially with all the injuries, like how effective and how championship teams rely on depth. And we just like don't have that. I mean, I think I saw, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I saw something to the effect of like, the Avs are like a few players shy of like setting a record for like the most guys to like actually touch NHL ice in 1 year. It's like, I think they're like in the 30s now with like guys being called up, guys being picked up on waivers, and they're just trying to like put plugs in the bottom of a sinking ship. And that's how it feels, you know? I mean, I think last time you and I talked, we had talked about Kadri and like how great of an addition he was. But without him, without Burakovsky, who else did we lose over the year? I mean, we lost like significant amount of depth. Kemper. Yeah.
Thank you.
It's apparent to me. Mm-hmm. That that depth.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sucks with the depth because of the injuries we were talking about. Landy hasn't even stepped on the ice all season.
Yeah.
I don't know his status. Like,
I don't really either. It sounds like the last time that I, which maybe a week ago, I was just checking in on it, and it looked like they pushed him back again. Like he, you know, his recovery time, I think, was supposed to be January, and January's come, and they're like, no, I think it's going to be longer. And you know, it's that lingering knee thing that he had addressed before the cup. But, you know, that team's lacking such substantial leadership, like not having your captain there right now, specifically as the team's kind of floundering. And it feels very much, it feels very needed right now. And it feels like, yeah, we could really stand to have some rock steady leadership in the room to pull the team together from falling apart. Cause it feels like they're just kind of, you know, it's like, well, Mikko will do it right. And then what? Ooh, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. You know, and then with Byram's out, Helm just returned, and Erod is back. McKinnon is back.
Yeah.
Speaking of Evan Rodriguez, I think he's my new favorite Av for the season. What are your thoughts?
It totally came out of nowhere. Yeah, I don't know about you, but I really didn't hear much of his name until like closer to the end of last year. I know when he's playing, and I think it was Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah, Pittsburgh.
Yeah, where he had started putting up some like pretty notable numbers, and didn't have a contract coming from them that year. And so it was like, well, you know, maybe the Avs will utilize him in Kadri's role. And, you know, and I won't speak for you, but for me, it's like, okay, we know that Rodriguez is not a Kadri. He's not going to put up 81 points. I don't know that he has that, like, I mean, Kadri just had that kind of scrape the bottom of the barrel, find whatever grit you can type of approach to the game. I don't know that Erod has that, but I was like pleasantly surprised with his numbers and his production so far. It's too bad that he's been banged up. Because I really have liked how he plays. And I do think if we find some more players to complement him on a second line, I think he'd be a good fit more long term than just a 1 year rental.
Yeah, I think he was the last game against Edmonton, which is thank God we won it in overtime. All hail Kale.
<I know.
laughs> but he was they had Erod on the first line, and they put Mikko on the second line because Mikko needs to help out the rest of the team. I guess, you know,
for sure, basically, yeah.
Go ahead.
No, it's like I feel like that's been like the. I think that's been kind of the MO for the team like all year. It's like, gosh, can we just throw Mikko in wherever? Like, we need help. Toss Mikko on the wing, toss Mikko on the second line, you know, put Mikko at center on the first line. And it's like, you know, I wish I could remember where I read it. It was in the last couple of days, but it was an article. I think it might've been through The Athletic. And the question basically being posed was, is Colorado like exhausting their top tier talent? And I'm like, that's a really good question. Like, Devon Taves and Cale Makar and Mikko Rantanen, like, are they getting gassed like early in the season? You know, to win a Stanley Cup, that's a long, long year. You hate to see those guys getting, you know, running the tank low too early in the season just because they're trying to keep that playoff hope alive. And we're barely clinging to a playoff spot if we're even there at all anymore.
We're behind Nashville, which is, I don't want to say like humiliating, but the Central, that's another thing we'll talk about later, the Central division. No, but I wanted to talk about another quick new Av player, Georgiev.
Yeah.
Georgiev.
Yeah. He, I don't know how you felt when we picked him up. I was a little bit, I'll be honest, I wish I could say like, oh yeah, I know he's going to be great. But I was a little nervous, mainly because he really didn't have like a deep well of numbers to pull from. Mm-hmm. You know, he hadn't had a lot of starts. He really hadn't been with the team too long in New York. Obviously, anytime that you're playing behind the guy who wins the Vezina, there is reason to believe that you still could be a good goalie and still not get a starting job because you're competing with the best goalie in the league. So I was a little hopeful that was maybe what it was. And at times throughout the year, I've been super impressed, like really impressed, like basically stealing games. And then every once in a while, I feel like out of nowhere, he just kind of shits the bed. And there's a whole, you know, defensive team in front of him to help, you know, make that not happen. But there's been a couple of times where I was like, man, he just went from like a 40 save shutout to now it's like 4 goals in one game you let in. That's
Well,
so no, I've been very 50-50.
Yeah. I think for me, one of my favorite games this season was when their first outing against the Rangers. So it was Georgie's first game against his former team, and we win it in a shootout. So it was kind of just like his excitement that I was like, I'm like, okay, I hope this momentum can go throughout the season. And then that was kind of like, we saw a glimpse of what he can do, and he's, you know, he won that game for us. And then you're right, like letting 4 goals in the next day, and you're just like, shit, you know? Like,
I know. And it was really cool that game that you brought up against him playing his old team was a really fun game. Like, as an Avs fan, watching new players go in to their old barns and win like that, it's like, oh, that's why I love this game. It's so, there's so much parity And just because the guy, you know, from the Rangers won a Vezina doesn't mean that, you know, Georgiev can't outplay him from time to time. And watching it happen, it's kind of almost a storybook scenario, you know. Mm-hmm. Guy gets traded from his old team, goes back into his old barn, playing the Vezina winner from last year, and, you know, basically wins in front of his old team. And also, by the way, takes the game from the best goalie in the world. It's like, those storylines are so fun, and it keeps you as a fan so engaged, but it doesn't help when you go to watch the next game and it's like, we just lost 4-0. Okay, well, that one fizzled out.
Yeah, well, and then when we played the Rangers again, they won it in an overtime, in a shootout, you know, so it was kind of like a revenge there. No, earlier you were talking about our best players kind of being overworked. Right now, Cale Makar is doing 27 minutes a game. Yeah. And the other night, he did 33 against Edmonton.
Yeah, that stat to me is always like concerning because of how a guy like Cale plays. It's not like he's an old school stay-at-home defenseman who's just kind of like, you know, I don't want to say sitting around. No one in the NHL really sits around, but the game management is just slower paced. Or a guy like Cale is like literally jumping up into place constantly, like a fourth forward. He's like taking like zone exits by himself. I mean, he's just, you can tell like the guy has one speed and it's like go, go, go. And when you see 33 minutes played in a game, like my first gut instinct is like, man, if I do 33 minutes of anything, I got to worry about having a knee brace on the next day. You know, like you worry about burnout with those guys, or at least I do. I worry about burnout too early. And I've even felt like, and I hate to even say it this way, but Cale Makar has proven to be such a generational talent. And tell me what you think about this, but I feel like he really hasn't hit that this year. Like there's been times where he's kind of, I don't want to say not noticeable, but it's very like, I don't know. I think he's like fifth or sixth in scoring in the league for defensemen right now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He's usually above a point per game player, and he's been teetering like around that or below. Like he really just hasn't felt like the X factor as often as he was last year. 100%. And that's always worrying to me.
No, I agree completely. I mean, I think his big notable thing this year was he was the fastest to reach 200 as a D-man. Mm-hmm. Right. So we can't forget that. And you are right about he is fifth right now, because you're like, wow, he is? I can't really, other than the game in Edmonton the other night when he won it.
Yep.
Yeah, it has felt like he hasn't been the X factor, but he's flying under the radar, so to speak. But speaking of Cale, he and being overworked, now he's going to an all-star game.
Yeah.
Which sucks. I hate how the all-star set up. Obviously it should be Mikko going. But also we don't want him to go either. We want these guys to rest.
Yeah, for sure.
Enough with the voting this year. I feel like last year I voted like 1,000 times. Like, get Kadri in, last man in.
Yeah.
And then this year, I feel like they've made it complicated on the NHL app. I haven't done it on a desktop, but on the app, it's like...
Sure.
Stupid. I've voted
twice.
Doesn't
that kind of sound like the NHL, though? I mean, I feel like that's my biggest gripe with that institution as a whole, is it's like, why do you make things so complicated for fans, right? Like, I think you and I in the last podcast talked about the idea of all-star games like basically being like a participation ribbon, you know, like everyone gets a player that goes in, and regardless of how good that team is, and you know, Cale going, it's like, yeah, Cale's an incredible defenseman, but from the Avalanche, like, he's been kind of a hit or miss guy for the last 40 some games. And Miko's like carried the entire team. Like, how is Mikko not the one who's the all-star? So it's just like confusing how they go about doing it. And part of me feels like they're just grasping names that they think will help sell the game on a more general and bigger platform. Mm-hmm. It's just too bad that, like you said, going through the app, you're trying to vote, and it's like, this is way too complicated than it, you know, or at least more complicated than it should be. No, I just feel like that's the NHL in general, which is like always a bummer, and nothing seems to change. And I never like get an update from the NHL, and I'm like, wow, that's a great idea.
Yeah. Well, so Mikko Rantanen, yeah, obviously he should have just been first in, and then we could vote Cal in later, or Kale in later.
Right.
But
yep.
But you know, Mikko has been in the talks for the Hart Trophy. What are your thoughts on that?
Couldn't agree more. I mean, if you take the Hart Trophy conversation, like at like its most diluted, you know, I guess phrasings, like it is meant for the player that single-handedly is the most valuable to that team, right? Like it's not an MVP. Like, oh, he had 450 points this year, so he's the Hart candidate. It's like, yeah, but like, I think, so was it the year that MacKinnon lost the Hart Trophy? He lost it to Taylor Hall. Yes.
Yeah.
And the argument was like, well, Taylor Hall doesn't have anyone on his team. He doesn't have a Mikko Rantanen. He doesn't have a Gabe Landeskog, and he still got them into the playoffs. Granted, be it a wild card spot, but he still got them in. So if that's the premise for how we vote on a Hart candidate, you look at the actual man hours lost on the Avalanche team due to injury and like who we were playing for the first half of the year. Mikko Rantanen, I think he's scoring like almost a third, like a quarter or a third of all of the goals. It's like if that team makes it to the playoffs at the end of the year, there is no better candidate based on those voting standards than a Mikko Rantanen. Like, I don't know how you make the argument for anyone else. I mean, if Colorado gets into the playoffs, you know, at whatever seed, it's going to be a 100% based on the fact that for the first half of the season, he basically carried this whole team on his back.
I agree 100%. And I just want to bring up one more injured player, and that's Val Nichushkin. His foot surgery. As someone, I've had a bad ankle, and I just know the pain a foot injury can cause. Do you think he came back too early?
Yeah, I really do. I think the telltale signs of that has been him jumping in and out of the lineup, which is odd because, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't remember, at least in the last 5, 6, 7 years, I don't remember a player really jumping in and out of the lineup for Colorado based on the same injury. It's usually like Colorado's been so good about saying, we're shutting you down. You're going to do all of the protocol. You're going to have the surgery. You're going to go through every hoop to get back into the lineup. Cause when you're back in, we want you in for good. I think the only people I could really think of is like, I mean, I guess Bowen Byram had that concussion thing, but but Val is really the only one that I can think of in the last handful of years that's really done that. And part of me just wonders, like, you know, there's been some front office, not turnover, but like adjusting and adjustments. Like, has there kind of been an adjustment or maybe like I don't want to say a loss of standards, but when it comes to getting players back on the ice, where last year we were the number one team basically throughout the whole year, we kind of had that ability to say, well, we're in a playoff spot. We can't really do a ton of losing and fall out. So we want you to take the time and come back when you're ready. Regardless, we'll be okay. Where now it feels like maybe since we're on that like kind of teetering point of being in or out, are they rushing guys back in or are guys saying like, I need to get back and help. I feel obligated to do so. And they're kind of going through too early. It's hard to say, but.
I think it's a little bit of both. Val just signed a big contract over the summer and he was in beast mode during the playoffs. So I'm sure he was just ready to get back.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to go back and talk about the Central Division. The two top teams or two of the teams overall, what are your thoughts on those two teams?
Winnipeg and Dallas. I get scared of Dallas. I'm always scared of Dallas. I think Joe Pavelski, like he's like kryptonite for the Avs. Like always when I'm like, I'm not a betting guy and I would never do it against my own team. But if whenever Dallas plays, I'm like, man, if I was to bank a ton of money gambling, I bet you I could guarantee that Duchesne's going to score on us every single time we play him. And Joe Pavelski is going to score on us every single time we play him. And so Dallas is interesting too, because like I didn't see Jason Robertson coming in as hot as he did. Like that's mind blowing to me. Like
he's a monster.
His stats are crazy. Mm-hmm. So, and I think that you have to consider like Ben's an agitator. He's, you know, he's just kind of a royal pain in the ass when you play him. Like they're a tough team. Jake Ottinger seems to be like a legit, you know, NHL goalie. Mm-hmm. Winnipeg is interesting though, because other than Connor Hellebuck in net, they really don't, at least not that I can tell, like they don't have really anyone new. Pierre-Luc Dubois, I think, mm-hmm. is like a relatively new acquisition, but Scheifele's always been there. Blake Wheeler's always been there.
Kyle Connor's
been there. Morrissey, like it doesn't feel like much has really changed. So I don't know. I haven't looked at their underlying stats, but I have to wonder, like, is that team legit or are they riding like this luck streak? I don't know.
Yeah, I think Winnipeg's been a team in the making for the last, they didn't make the playoffs last year. So I feel like this year is like, they got to prove themselves and they haven't changed a lot of players. So I think this is a huge year for Winnipeg to go deep. And that's why I just, every time I look at the schedule of the games, I'm almost like, Dallas won, god damn it. Oh, Winnipeg won,
I know.
God damn it. Absolutely. And then Minnesota, you never know with Minnesota. They're sitting at third right now. But, I mean, Nashville's nipping at the heels. Colorado, I'm predicting a better second half. After the All-Star break, I think we're going to – people are going to return from injuries. Let's fucking go Colorado Avalanche. God damn it.
I feel like if I had to make an assumption, and I'd like to hear what you think, end of the year going into the playoffs, I have to assume that it's a combination of Dallas or Winnipeg in the number one spot, the other one being number two, Colorado in the third spot, and then Minnesota in the wild card spot.
That's what I'd like to see. Fuck St. Louis.
Yeah, seriously. That team needs to continue imploding.
Yeah, and Nashville, smell you later. So then lastly, I wanted to talk about the trade deadline. There's been rumors about Taves coming or Horvat. What are your thoughts on that?
Mm-hmm. I'll be quite honest. I don't see Chris McFarland and Joe making a trade that would give up this year's first round pick. It's highly touted. It's that it's going to be as deep or deeper than the 2015 draft where we picked up Mikko at 10. Mm-hmm. I don't see them using that as a bargaining chip. Now, whether they give a 2024 up, maybe, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Taves is like a expensive rental. They'd have to keep half of his or more of his $10.5 million contract.
Yeah.
Bo Horvat would be a really expensive rental too, because, you know, he's going to have to be re-signed. He wants north of $8 million. Colorado doesn't have that. Mm. If I had to guess, I don't think that either one of those guys comes to Colorado. And the reason I say that is, like, who saw Kadri coming to Colorado? No one. Like, that's a Joe Sakic special, right?
Mm-hmm.
If they go and pursue a second line center, what I've noticed about the team is they are looking for someone close to their prime who has term on their contract and someone who's going to fit the mold, which is like a high impact forward or like a very mobile defenseman. So I think if there's something out there that Joe and Chris go get, I don't think it's anyone that anyone's talking about. I think it's someone probably in that 27, 28, 29 years old, that has maybe a year or two left on their contract. And, you know, again, that someone we haven't talked about. I think I've almost like viewed it as like a jinx. As soon as someone starts talking about Colorado going to get someone, it rarely comes. Like, if you look at who we signed last year, all of those guys have been like in the mix from Joe Sakic scouting for years. Like Josh Manson, that was a guy who Joe scouted for like probably 3 years.
Yeah, that's what I was going to bring up. Yeah.
That's, I think it's going to be something like that. It's going to be a Josh Manson, a Kadri scenario where he's either been tied to Colorado for years prior to this, or it's going to be something that makes a lot of sense in terms of growth for the team.
Yeah, I agree. You know, like I said, great minds think alike, Ian.
They do. They do.
All right. Well, thanks so much for giving me your time. You know, just talking to another Avs fan, going through the highs and lows of this team, you know, it's good to vent and talk about it. But
yeah,
what should we let Avs fans know before we go?
We should let them know that there's no reason to panic. We won a Stanley Cup last year. We have all of that core intact. And, you know, at the end of the day, we all trust St. Joe.
Yeah.
We have to. In Joe, amen, we trust.
All right, Ian. Well, I'll talk to you again at the playoffs. Hopefully, we'll chat again.
Fingers crossed.
All right. Stay warm. Have a good one.
You too.
Bye.